Yes, telling it like it is on a Tuesday morning, we have the car guru Lenny Lawson with us on the line. Good morning, Lenny Lawson.
Good morning, Tim Cable.
Yes.
How art thou this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. Getting better day by day here and made it through the fog this morning. Gosh, it was it foggy down your way early this morning?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a slight fog, and, you know, of course, we have the haze, I guess, that's blowing from out west.
Right. Yeah.
The forest fires. The mountains were pretty last night. I always love it when there's, you know, you can actually see the bottom of the mountains, but there's clouds in the middle, and then you can see the top of the mountains above it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like every time I go home, I see a different picture, a different photograph. And as many times as I've tried to take photographs of those mountains from my back porch, I just never can really capture the beauty of it. A camera lens just doesn't substitute, is a poor substitute for your eyes.
That's right. You never can. It never is the same. Cameras try, but they can't do as well as your eyes.
Yeah. Got a phone call this morning from an excited sales manager at Gateway early this morning, about a little after 7. A truck arrived with a load of Ford Rangers on it, plus one interloper, our 2021, our first Bronco demo that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people have said, well, I've seen the Bronco. I've seen them drive around town. And no, you haven't. The only Broncos that you have seen, there might be a few people in East Tennessee that have been able to get a Bronco, the real Bronco. But what people have seen is the Bronco Sport. Mm-hmm. Now, there's nothing wrong with a Bronco Sport. It's built on the Ford Escape chassis. It's very boxy. Looks a lot like its big brother. And they've been selling very well. We've probably sold 15 or 20 Bronco Sports, and we've got quite a few in the pipeline. And I think it's going to be a great seller, probably in much greater volumes than the Bronco itself, because I just don't think they're going to be able to produce the numbers of Bronco. I just think there's more buyers for Bronco Sport. But the Bronco is all new, and we've been waiting for it for about 32 years. Well, not really. I'm looking at a Bronco. I'm at Gateway number 2 right now in the showroom. I'm looking at my 1970 Bronco, the same basic look as the one we just received. But the big Bronco is considerably larger than the Bronco Sport. And, Tim, it's almost like a different franchise. It's a franchise within a franchise. The Ford franchise enables us to sell a wide spectrum of vehicles. But Ford is kind of engineering the Bronco as a family of vehicles, just kind of like it's doing the Mustang. You know, the Mustang that we've had for years is we can get it in a convertible or a fastback and different engines. And then they came out with the Mach-E Mustang, which is all electric, and I think there will be even more versions of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Bronco is going to do the same thing. I have no doubt that we will have, of course, we have a Bronco Sport, the full-size Bronco, and then we'll have probably a Bronco truck at some point. Some dealers are actually even building separate showrooms for their Bronco. So it's going to be kind of an interesting phenomenon to see how this plays out. But I invite people to come by. It just arrived this morning. We will be prepping it for test drives. If you really want to come down to Greenville and meet us and check out the Bronco and see what we've got going on down here at Gateway, I would love to give you a tour and show you, you know, just exactly what we do. And also, if you really want to see this Bronco and drive it, then this will be your opportunity to do that. This will be a demo unit. We will be keeping it for several months because we are required to. But it is available to check out and drive, and most folks, like I say, have seen a Bronco Sport. They've not seen the real deal, and this is the real. This is the big daddy, as we call it. So anyway, come on down, and it will be here the rest of this week, and also, in the coming months. So if you want to maybe reserve a Bronco, or maybe get a Bronco for yourself, you can go to GatewayFordBronco.com. and you can check that out. So we'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute.
Lenny Lawson, the guru.
What a radio voice you have. Hey, so what I love to do more than anything, as I said, is to find these old cars and resurrect them and fix them up. So I found this 65 Mustang from a radio show listener, or it found me, and they gave me the opportunity to buy it, and it was a great experience. And now I posted it on Facebook and said that it was available for sale. Within 30 minutes, I've got a buyer. So I'm meeting with that buyer. This was last week, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm meeting with that buyer today, and we're going to, you know, talk about what are the next steps. You know, it's really no different than building a house or buying a house and, you know, working with a general contractor, you know, to remodel the house and do, you know, make it yours, so to speak. You know, what I do is we take these cars, and it's just kind of like a blank canvas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at the car and you decide, okay, well, what are the structural things that we need to do? You know, this car does have some issues on the underneath of the car. It has some rust and a couple areas where the rust is, very critical areas, have to be repaired before I would ever think about selling the car. And so, you know, we're taking care of that this week. And then, once that's secure, it's really kind of up to the owner. This car has a perfect interior. Like I said, it's a 1965 Mustang convertible and very drivable. First thing we had to do when we got the car was to make sure that it was going to run and start and everything, and the engine is fine. And we're going to recondition the whole underneath the hood. You know, one of the things that you definitely want to do when you get an older car is, you know, especially if the engine is, of course, the engine is important in every car, but some engines are, some cars, you know, it's a greater situation where, you know, you want to the engine compartment to look good. And so, you know, the engine compartment in this car doesn't look good right now. Looks like crap. And so we are going to address those issues and, you know, get it all painted up and pretty, and then just work on some of the chrome trim and stuff like that. But the upgrades are important. Like when we pulled the wheels, we ordered new wheels and tires for this car. When we pulled the wheels, first thing you see are the drum brakes. Now, you know, drum brakes are, you know, an old style of brake, and they just don't stop as good as disc brakes. And it's really easy to do a disc brake conversion on this. So that's what I'm going to talk to the owner about, or the new owner, as soon as he pays me, about upgrading the braking system. You know, back then, the brakes had basically a single, they were called single channel brakes. So basically, it only has one line that goes to the front and rear brakes. See, now we have four channel brakes, which each wheel has its own source of brake fluid. This is a, you know, this really modernizes the vehicle and makes it safer to drive. So, we're definitely going to talk about that. Another upgrade that you can do, it's not really as expensive as people think, is to install air conditioning. There is a company called Vintage Air that makes, all different types of air conditioning packages for vintage cars. And so if you have an old car and the reason you haven't been driving it is because it's too hot, well, Vintage Air makes a package that will, you know, turn your interior of your old car into a pleasant place to be when it's hot outside. So this is another potential upgrade, you know, that we can do to this car. Sound system is another thing. You know, people like to listen to music, and the radios back in 1964 were not very impressive. You know, basically an AM radio with, and that's about it. And the signal wasn't all that great. So I'm restoring this 49. I'm building basically a car hauler and putting a 49 truck body on it. And the radio that came out of that thing, Tim, looks like, I mean, it was just massive. The face of it was big, but the whole, you know, just all of the innards, you know, with tubes and all that stuff was very, very big. And so we pulled that out, and so we had this odd-shaped hole. So we had to fill that hole, and then cut another hole in order to be able to fit a modern radio. And I decided to go with a radio made by Kenwood that has navigation and Apple CarPlay and all the modern things, because I'm going to be using this vehicle to haul cars and go to car shows and stuff like that, and I want it to be comfortable on the inside. That's a very small cabin, but and so I won't need a lot of speakers, but I'm going to put some pretty high-quality speakers in it. Now, when it comes to sound systems, I mean, you can go down here to Walmart and buy something for $89.95 mm-hmm. if you want to. But, you know, the best thing to do is find a high-quality radio. And one of the things that I recommend folks do is leave the factory radio where it is. Don't screw up your dash with a lot of, you know, with a jigsaw or something like that to try to cut out and really damage the looks, appearance of your dash. Lots of times, Tim, we do an installation of the radio either under a seat or in the glove box, so that when you open the glove box, there's your new sound system controls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can hide speakers. Another thing that we tell folks not to do is let's hide the speakers and not cut the door panels. When you cut a door panel, especially if it's an original door panel, you're really affecting the value of that vehicle. You know, you can hide speakers in the dash. You can put them, you know, if you want to put a subwoofer in to get the bass, you can put that in the trunk. You can put speakers underneath the seats. You can hide them in the headliner. There's all kinds of different places that you can go with the sound, so as you don't really mess up the appearance of the vehicle. I think I was talking to you yesterday about my 76 Buick that I'm selling on Bring a Trailer right now. Mm-hmm. And that's a car that you don't do anything to. 1976 model with 8,000 original miles on it. Some cars you just don't mess with. We would never paint that car, even though it's got a few, you know, when you're talking about paint that's, you know, 45 years old, you're going to have some slight discoloration and issues. But originality really matters in a lot of different instances. Unless the paint is really bad, if it's all original paint, you leave it. You don't modify it. Mm-hmm. You know, we go in and do some tweaking, and we recondition the engine and do some other things just to, you know, spruce it up some, but you really don't mess with it. Now, if it had something missing or broken, then there are aftermarket companies that sell replacement parts that are pretty much just like the new ones. For example, with a Mustang or a Bronco or a Chevy Camaro, or, you know, an Impala, you know, a lot of the more common cars, it's really easy to go online and find new chrome pieces for those vehicles. Now, they will not be as high quality as the original chrome pieces, but, you know, and usually the fit is pretty good because they're modeled right off of the original parts. For example, on this Mustang, most of the emblems are made out of pot metal. And they've already started to, they began corroding many years ago. And so they just don't look good. All of them aren't bad, but there's a vast majority are. On the front of it, it just says four. It doesn't say Ford. The D is missing.
Uh-oh.
And so, you know, the F-O-R are a little bit corroded. So what I, instead of just ordering a D, I will get the whole, all the letters and it'll look brand new. It's amazing what you can do to improve the outside of a vehicle. Now, this particular vehicle has pretty good paint. You know, it's not the best paint job in the world, but it's not something that I would repaint. Then you're talking about, you know, anywhere from $6,000 to $8,000 to do a complete repaint, a high quality repaint on that car. It's not a big car. It's not like doing my 49 car hauler, because mm-hmm. that's like restoring two cars. You do the cab, you know, from the back of the cab forward, and then you've got the entire bed to do. And, you know, that's a really big deal. Somebody was asking me about the Volkswagen bus. They wanted to know about the Volkswagen buses that I've sold from the 60s. And I said, that's a tough vehicle to restore. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one that's kind of like restoring two vehicles because the inside is all painted. And it's, you know, it just requires body work on the outside and on the inside. You've got to paint it all. Whereas most cars have an interior, you know, fabric. Fabric is a whole lot less expensive than paint. So, but these are some of the things that we go through with people. I had a lady call or send me a message through Facebook Messenger this morning, and she's a old high school friend, and she said, "Lenny, I know that you are really into old cars, and you might be able to help me." Her husband passed away, I don't know, probably 10 years ago, and I remember he had a 1972 Super Beetle. It was yellow, and he used to drive that all the time. He was a great guy. Steve was a great car lover and a good father and a great father and and a friend and a very active in the community. And so she says, "Lenny, I'm really wanting to talk to you about restoring Steve's Super Beetle." And I said, "Well, I'm honored that you would ask me and my assistance and help. I would love to do that for you and for Steve and for the, you know, for the Beetle." So, you know, what we have to do, I said, "Does it run?" And she said, "No, and it's not running right now." So we'll have to get it hauled to Gateway or to Gateway number two, where we do all of our restorations, and just really evaluate it. I don't charge anything to do that. You know, if she, and I, of course, I wouldn't charge her anyway, but I don't charge anybody to evaluate their car. We put it up on a lift. We check all of the underside, the suspension. Now, if we end up having to do a lot of engine testing, then there's labor involved for my technicians, and I have to pay them. But that's not big money. You know, you're talking about a complete, you know, if we were, did a compression test on an engine and evaluated it, it might cost a couple hundred dollars, you know, to do that. It probably costs more to tow it here, Tim, than it would for us to actually do the work. And then we can give you, you know, we do a walk around and we talk about, you know, what we're going to do, just like I said, just like building a house. And we talk about, you know, how we're going to go forward and what that would cost to do. And then the second consideration is time, you know, the time frame that it takes to do it. You, everybody watches these overhauled and these shows on TV about how fast that they turn around a car. You know, they'll looks like they're completely restoring a car in about 7 days or something like that. That's just not real. I mean, these are more drawn out things than what they portray on television. And so, you know, a full restoration, if somebody is, you know, really going to take one all the way down, you know, it could be as many as anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 hours of labor to get that done, plus all the cost of parts. So it is, it can be a long, drawn-out process unless you just shortchange it and shortcut it. And there are ways that you can do that, just like we're on this Mustang. It's not going to cost, you know, I'm estimating a budget on this Mustang of maybe $5,000, and that would put air conditioning on. That would put all new set of wheels and tires. That would get all the chrome bits replaced and fix the sound system and fix the entire braking system. And then, you know, there might be some spot touch. Oh, yeah, and fix the frame basically where it needs to be done. So that's not a really big investment. And when it's all said and done, you know, we're talking about a, you know, low 20s, mid-20s price car that probably has a retail value a couple years from now over 30, you know, because they're not making any more of them. So that's kind of the process that we go through, and I thought that might be helpful to people who have an old car or thinking about doing an old car project.
Yeah. Lot to it, and it's good to kind of give it the walkthrough, no doubt about that, and get it ready. All right, we'll take our last break. We'll come back and wrap things up right after this. Well, that was Abby there for Gateway, and we've got the car. Yes, there he is, Abby's father, Lenny Lawson, back to wrap things up.
Yeah, that's what I'm known as now.
Abby's father.
Abby's father. But she's done a great job, you know, as far as the, I mean, such a good addition. She understood from an early age what it means to take care of people and the value of relationships and, you know, how important our business was to, you know, us, our family, but also to the public, you know, in so many ways. People, cars are so important to our daily lives that we tend to take them for granted until something breaks or, you know, it's time to get something new. And there's so many bad experiences out there that people face. And also, I mean, even when we have a difficult repair situation or, you know, a long, drawn-out affair, whether it has anything to do with buying a car or getting it serviced. There are things that a business can do to make it a little bit easier on the consumer, and we're always looking for ways to do it. I had an elderly lady came into the dealership yesterday, and she's got a gas smell in her car.
Mm-hmm.
And so, gasoline. And so that's a pretty serious deal. And so one of my young service advisors has said, well, we really can't get to it today. Can you possibly bring it back tomorrow? Well, she was pulling it out, and I walked up to her because I recognized her and talked to her, and I said, what are you doing? She said, well, my car has a gas smell. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, well, why are you leaving? And she said, well, he can't get into tomorrow. I said, get out of that car. you don't need to be driving that car. Just pull it around here, and I'll loan you something to drive. Oh, Lenny, thank you. You know, it's just, you got to use your head sometimes. And I went and talked to the advisor, and I said, listen, somebody's smelling gas in her car. You don't let them go. I mean, and he just was too busy, you know, answering too many phone calls, juggling too many things, and all he was thinking about was how much time that he had available that day,
mm-hmm.
and that he had more time available to check out the car. But when you have a serious situation like that, you know, you jump on it and you accommodate the customer and find out a way to take care of it. And that's one thing that Abby is, you know, really good at. My daughter Audra is well. My son Blaine was very customer focused. I still have customers that just loved him to death, and when he was a service advisor and talk about him and how, you know, accommodating he was and what he did to try to make people feel comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the legacy that I really would like to leave with my kids,
yeah.
you know, as a car dealership operation. So anyway, but Tim, thanks, and this week is my 43rd wedding anniversary, and I'm anxious to get out of town this week with my wife, and we will we've got new shows for tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. And so hopefully folks will be able to listen and enjoy. And I will see you next week.
All right. Well, we hope you have a great anniversary week. And we will hear from you again tomorrow. So,
okay. Thanks, Tim.
So long until then.